HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper. The United Auto Workers say they've reached a tentative new contract with Mack Trucks covering some 4,000 members. But there's still no deal with Ford, General Motors, or Stellantis.
Production of many mid-sized and larger SUVs has been halted, along with mid-sized pickup trucks. Parts depots have also been impacted. At Ford, executive Kumar Galhotra says not making Explorers, Broncos, and Rangers hurts.
If this continues week after week, of course, it will have a substantial impact on our business.
All total, 25,000 auto workers are now on the picket lines. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
There were just hours left when Congress passed a bill to keep the government funded for another month and a half this weekend. CBS's Nicole Killian.
The stopgap measure only funds federal agencies for 45 days through November 17th and includes $16 billion in relief for communities hit by natural disasters.
What was not in the bill? Funding for Ukraine, something that did not go unnoticed there. CBS's Remy Innocencio is there.
A tempered reaction from Kyiv, with the government here saying it is working with Washington after Congress was forced to drop any additional aid in its temporary budget to avert a U.S. government shutdown. A spokesperson for Ukraine's Ministry of Foreign Affairs said Kyiv is already looking ahead to the new U.S. budget decision with a deadline of 45 days from now that hopefully does include new funds.
California Governor Gavin Newsom will appoint LaFonza Butler to fill Dianne Feinstein's Senate seat just days after her death. She was the longest-serving woman in Senate history. Butler was a strategist who advised Vice President Harris during her presidential campaign. A new law is now in effect in Maryland that eliminates the statute of limitations in child sex abuse cases. Now, victims can sue no matter when the abuse happened. WTOP's Matt Small.
It allows victims to sue up to $890,000 from public institutions, up to $1.5 million from individuals and private organizations, but not the Archdiocese of Baltimore. It filed for bankruptcy Friday, citing passage of the law.
Attorney General Merrick Garland discussed the process behind the federal prosecutions of former President Trump and tells 60 Minutes that the investigation itself determines the timing, disputing allegations they were timed to be detrimental to the former president's reelection campaign or that there's any political bias.
I represent the American people. I don't represent the president. I represent the American people. And likewise, I am not Congress's prosecutor. I work for the American people.
This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Welcome to hour two of As Goes Wisconsin, and yes, that was accurate. She is a new mom. We are going to talk to her coming up at 11:50.
I can't wait.
Little girl came yesterday afternoon. We're not telling you her name. We're not going to reveal that until Kristen joins us. But we've been giving hints all morning with bumper music as to what the little one's name is. We have quite a few correct guesses already, too. At 844-967-2727.
Yeah, a couple of guys, actually.
A couple of guys got it right. A lot of the texters got it right. So well done. We are so excited to have our next guest joining us. It's been a few months, and so we're delighted to have him back. Dr. Michael McCutcheon is going to fix your life. Dr. Mike, thank you so much for being here. How are you?
Hey, I missed you. Good to see y'all. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good.
Now, you talked to Kristen last night.
I did. She looked great. Baby looked great. Baby was sleeping like a perfect angel.
Of course.
One thing I can report, I hope this is not giving away top secret news. I don't want Kristen to get mad at me, but this is actually good. And I think the entire state of Wisconsin will be very happy to hear this news. The baby has Kristen's nose and not Mike's nose. Thank God. So we are good to go there.
Was there a lot of concern about the nose? That was a big worry.
There was in our friend circle. Yeah, I mean, it's just got that perfect little bride nose. Just boop, just a little, like a little Disney nose. You know, it's perfect. Yeah, absolutely perfect. Yeah, she's lovely. This perfect little angel girl. And Kristen looks great. And Mike was just, we FaceTimed. Mike was
is he over the
glowing.
Moon?
Yeah, over the moon. Yes, it's glowing. Yeah, it was great. So yeah, I was just so happy to see both of them. And we're thrilled for them.
Absolutely. Great. We are all thrilled. And again, we're going to be talking to Kristen coming up at about 11:50. She's going to do a little check-in with us and let us know how everyone is doing and how the little one is doing. So right now, though, if you ever have a question for Dr. Michael McCutcheon, you can always text us at 844-967-2789. Shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. Dr. Mike, we're going to start with this one, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm a 34-year-old woman, and I'm going through a tough time. My boyfriend of 2 years broke up with me 4 months ago, and my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer just a few weeks ago. My ex, who I love but who is not emotionally mature, has reached out trying to be supportive since my mom's diagnosis. A mutual friend had told him that my mother was ill. I'm so depleted right now, it's hard to push his affection away because it feels so good. But also, I know this is a slippery slope to heartbreak all over again. Should I let my ex be a shoulder to cry on and a familiar bedfellow during these tough times? Or should I keep my distance from him to protect my heart, even if it means going through this all alone?
Well, first of all, I'm so sorry. Mainly sorry to hear about your mother and the diagnosis, and that does sound like a tough time. You know, just sort of a lot of compounding things all at once. And Yeah, well, I'm rereading through this now and seeing these things, and I don't know about you, Jane, but for me, a couple of things sort of jump off the page, and I'm not sure for our listeners, sort of, you know, kind of actually buzz your ears, you know, sort of these affect or emotion words can kind of get you. The things that are getting me here are like these phrases like emotionally immature and slippery slope, you know, they kind of get me, they get the little hairs in the back of my neck start to stand up.
Right.
Heartbreak all over again. You know, this is only a paragraph that this person wrote in, and all those things popped up there. And in where I'm from, Jane, you know, the word familiar can be a double-edged sword, personally, right?
How do you mean?
You know, familiar can sort of feel like, oh, you know, my old familiar sweatshirt that I had from college, and it sounds all comfy. But how about the other idea that, like, oh, no, this feels all too familiar? You know, that kind of tone,
yes,
as well, right?
Yeah.
You know, this idea of familiar does not always mean, you know, don't be fooled to be thinking that sort of comfortable is where you want to be. You know, it might sound like a bit of a cliche phrase, but it's cliche for a reason that, you know, the comfort zone is someplace, you know, it can be someplace nice for a day or two, but nothing grows there, Jane, right? So I don't know. I think I would be a little wary about going back to this shoulder to cry on, as I do think that there are some strings attached there. Whereas I think that going through all of this, quote unquote, alone would be very, very difficult for anybody. Reaching out, go ahead.
But like you said, I mean, it sounds like she has other friends and she has some mm-hmm. other support. Yeah. And when she said emotion, he's not emotionally mature. So I don't know how much comfort he's really going to be able to provide.
Run.
Yeah. Carol just said run. And you are setting yourself up to get stomped on again, aren't you?
That's up. Yeah, you really, I mean, you know, this person is kind of, it seems like they're telling us, they know who this person is. They know who this man is, who the ex is. And they almost, in a sense, they want us to enable them. Is it okay if I go back to the shoulder to cry on? That's not going to be good for me. You know, can I have this cheeseburger that's going to, you know, clog my arteries, even though I know I've got
a heart condition.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, you know, I think the thing I would want to say too, and this might be taking it a touch too far for this person, but I would say this to everybody else who's sort of listening and might be thinking about being in a tough time themselves and kind of generalize it. One thing we could think about when we find ourselves in a quote unquote tough time, if we can zoom out for just a second and ask ourselves, maybe we don't have to go through this tough time alone, or we don't have to put ourselves through these situations. If you can think about it, is that maybe you get to. Maybe this is an opportunity that you actually, this is an opportunity to be stronger, and that you actually, you know, get to see what you're made of. You get to find out who else can be there for you. You get to find new ways of getting through a tough situation without going back to, you know, like we said, a shoulder with strings attached. And in this case, with a whole lot of baggage, somebody who broke up with you,
right,
left you reeling for the last couple of months, who found out about this situation and came back to you in this, you know, in this state, who, by the way, maybe I'm reading too much into it, who's maybe has some ulterior motives, who's kind of finding you in this vulnerable state.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's exactly it. And I thought too, he knows you're down. He knows you're low. You need some comforting. What a great way to get back in bed.
Right.
What a great way to get back in your bed for a short period of time.
Right.
Yeah. It sounds pretty harsh, but I would be, you know.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, to tell you the truth, I think the most telling thing is the emotional state, that he's emotionally immature. I don't want to hook up with that. I need somebody who's got the ability to stand next to me and with me. And I'm with you, Jane. I think it's kind of a cheap way to get in with this woman in order to get her back in the sack. There.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah. It's great. I love. Yeah. Bring. Yeah. The I think the tough love is actually what somebody in this state actually needs right now. Right. Yeah. This is not one of those situations, I think, where you just take the quick Band-Aid fix and just kind of get yourself, you know, day to day and just kind of get through. Like I said, this is an opportunity for somebody to say, who in my life can I actually capital C count on?
Yeah.
And, yep. You know, this guy ain't it. And he showed that to you months ago, right? Did HGTV come in and give him a, you know, complete personality makeover that we're not aware of in the last 90 days that we don't know? Because if that didn't happen, I think you say thank you so much for reaching out. And I really do appreciate it. And I appreciate the well wishes. And if I need something, I'll let you know. And yeah, like you said, reach out to friends, reach out to family, do the things that you know that you need to do, right? Get your sleep, you know, eat well, spend time with your mother, do all the things that you need to do for yourself.
Right.
Right. But this idea of having, you know, the comfort of a bedfellow, I think you'd be actually comforting him more than he'll be comforting you is how this is going to turn out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I also think because she said that they have mutual friends, this is a way for him to make himself look like a good guy to the mutual friends. Right.
Jane. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're
you
right.
I came forward. I know she's down. So here I am to help her.
Yeah. But you walked away in the first place. I don't want you back. You walked away from me.
You know what Carol Sine would say on her life coach door, Dr. Mike?
Tell me.
It would be run.
Am I a little too brutal? He's so eloquent and I'm just so blunt. It's like, no. And to tell you the truth, if I was her friend, I would be, if I was a female friend of hers, I'd be like, okay, we really got to sit down and talk about this.
You don't want to do this.
Right. Exactly. That's what good friends are for, to be honest with you. You'd say that to me.
For sure.
You know?
Right, Dr. Mike? Friends have to share hard truths sometimes. That's what makes you a good friend.
That's what makes you a great friend, right? Is it true or is it not true that people show you who they are the first time, right? So unless this person comes to you and says, let me tell you about how I did you wrong and how I've learned from that, let's start from there, right? And let's have this... But that's not what's happened here, right?
Right.
This person showed you who he was, and you're coming to us even saying, nothing's changed here. I just want a fix of this old thing, right? So let's not walk down the slippery slope knowing exactly what it is. Let's take good care of it. Let's take, at this downtime, at this tough time, actually, let's take exquisite care of ourselves. And that's not what this is.
No, it sure isn't.
I love that term, exquisite care.
Exquisite care. We'll put that on a t-shirt too. Dr. Michael McCutcheon is our resident life relationship career coach who draws on his clinical training in counseling psychology to help improve relationships, set and achieve goals, and just fix our lives overall. So glad to have you back, Dr. Mike. It's wonderful, wonderful to see you. And I'm sure you're gonna be coming by one of these days to see the little ones. So hopefully when the next time you're in Milwaukee, we can get together and coo over her together.
I can't wait.
Sounds great.
It's good to see you all.
You too. Thank
you,
Dr. Mike.
You.
Stay with us. As goes Wisconsin, we have Matt Miller coming up at 11:30. We're going to talk movies.
Okay.
And Hollywood and popcorn. Don't go away. As goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 63. Monday, sunshine and 85. Monday night, mostly clear with a low of 64. Chance of showers and thunderstorms from Tuesday night into Wednesday. That'll cool things down. We'll see a high near 70 on your Wednesday, and it will be breezy.
Currently, 66 degrees.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, joined by my co-host for the next several Fridays.
Yeah, we're going to be through the rest of the year, Friday. Yeah,
the rest of the year. Carol Kane is here and Greg Bach is on the board. Little girl came yesterday afternoon.
Right.
We've been giving you hints all morning with the bumper music as to what her name
is. I'm an idiot. I've got nothing. I lost to Greg for the news thing, and now I'm sitting here. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, I got some. We didn't see this before, but we got a comment on the live stream from Robin Allen saying, "Welcome, Carol, Miss Mama K, but show is great, in great hands with this girl, powerhouse, epic. Don't take it personally, Greg." I do not. I am standing by legends.
That's very nice.
Oh, that's very sweet of you.
That's very, very nice.
Another guest came in from the 541. My name, guest for the baby, Patsy Bennett Bach Semproni.
No. I had nothing to do with this child.
Patsy. Huh.
Patsy Bennett.
That's a beautiful name, Patsy.
Patsy is a nice name.
Okay.
A lot of people got it right, actually. And if you want to still take a guess, this is just for bragging rights, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Kristen is going to be joining us at 11:50 with an update, and that's when we will have her reveal their little girl's name. But everything's good. Everybody's fine. And she shared some pictures with us yesterday, and she genuinely was probably the prettiest pregnant person I have ever seen.
Yeah, she looked pretty
literally
good.
All through her pregnancy, she just looked great.
I looked like I'd been dragged behind a 150.
She recognized that fact too. She said things like, "I realize how much easier the pregnancy for me was than for a lot of other people." And you know, I don't know why. I'm not gonna speculate. I'm not a doctor.
Right.
But yeah, this has been a very interesting process to go through next to someone. Watching them go through
sure.
it.
For sure.
Well, my pregnancies were terrible. I had
both of them
no,
bad?
No, both of them were bad, yeah. Both of them were bad. With my son, Liz was actually a pretty easy baby. She would eat and be down for 4 hours, you know, that kind of thing.
That's great.
Alex, unfortunately, my water broke at 21 weeks, and that landed me in the hospital for 7 weeks before he was born.
Wow.
And then when he cooked as long as he could, and he was like 4 pounds when he came out.
Oh,
and,
teeny.
But my problem with Alex was he stopped napping at 9 months.
He just stopped napping?
Just stopped. Nope. not going to do it. And I would put him in his crib just to try and see if he could calm down a little bit. And that was another little thing about that little stinker, too. He's 30 years old now, but he got himself up. He was able to stand really early.
Wow.
So he pulled himself up in his crib, and he would stand and hold onto the railing and just scream and rock. And I would just go. And finally, I ended up, when I would like try to lay down on the couch, I'd put him between the crux of my knees so I could feel him if he was moving.
Right.
But he was having none of it. None of it. None. None.
When you first got home from the hospital, what was the most challenging thing? Do you remember? I know, but obviously your pregnancies were very different.
Right.
But,
you know, I was not a great nurser, if you know what I mean.
I do.
I was not a big producer.
And not everybody is, and no. It just doesn't work for everybody.
I will tell you, this is kind of a funny story, because he had to stay in the hospital for a month after he was born, because sure. He was in the NICU.
Sure.
And I would have to go home and try and produce something. They wanted him to have mother's milk. And I will never forget getting in at St. Joe's. I got in the elevator, and there was a woman who was half my size. Half my size. I'm 5'10". And she's got two mason jars filled. And I've got like a tablespoon. I never felt like such a failure in all my life.
Oh, that's terrible.
I was just like, I looked over and I go, seriously? She goes, oh, I know. I can't. It's just, it just keeps coming.
Oh my goodness.
But that was a challenge for me and trying to get him to nap. Yeah.
And there's gotta be a lot of pressure. And we talked about this some with Kristen about everyone becomes an expert then, right? When you're the new mother and everyone wants to give you their expert advice, and there's all these Facebook groups and all these other groups, and
it's hard.
What do you mean you're not nursing? What do you mean you don't use this kind of stroller? And what do you mean? So it's got to be a lot to navigate, and I can see how you could be made to feel badly in about 97 different ways.
And now it's even worse with all of the, you know, like you said, with all the social media outlets
right.
and things like that.
Right.
I didn't have any of that. You know, I had my daughter's 34 and Alex is 30. So, you know.
This was pre all the right. social media.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think that was probably, and, you know, just being a new mom can be nerve wracking.
For sure.
You know, I wish Kristen the very best, and I'm sure she's going to be a wonderful mom, but I want her to know that there will be challenges that will, like, I remember walking out at the front door and going and sitting on the stoop because I couldn't get Alex to calm down. And I was like, I got to get out of here for a minute.
I'm going to lose my mind.
I'll put him someplace safe where I know he's safe, but I need to go out and get some fresh air. And I remember sitting on the stoop and just crying. I'm like, what am I going to do? How am I going to calm this kid down?
Is it going to be like this for the rest of our lives?
Right. Well, he came around.
In your household, I find that so shocking.
That
he came around. All right. We got the news coming up at the bottom of the hour. When we come back on Milwaukee.com's Matt Miller will be joining us. I'm really excited to talk to him, particularly about this movie called Dumb Money.
My girlfriend saw it. She said it was hilarious.
The trailer is priceless, and I think that's going to be really, really interesting. We'll talk to you about the writer's strike is over, and we'll see, you know, how much longer it's going to take to get the actors back. Stay right here. We will be back right after this. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. The union representing striking screen and TV actors heads back to the negotiating table this morning with Hollywood producers. Entertainment Tonight's Kevin Frazier.
The hope is that they will sit down and negotiate a new contract that will work not only on AI, but also streaming.
The bill that passed on Saturday to fund the government for 45 days has angered some conservatives in the House, including Matt Gaetz, who was on CNN.
I do intend to file a motion to vacate against Speaker McCarthy this week. I think we need to rip off the Band-Aid. I think we need to move on with new leadership that can be trustworthy.
The bill did not include funding for Ukraine. President Biden says Congress needs to fix that in a separate vote.
I hope my friends on the other side keep their word about support for Ukraine. They said they're going to support Ukraine in a separate vote. We cannot, under any circumstance, allow American support for Ukraine to be interrupted.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
Goes Wisconsin, Jane Matinier, in for new mom, Kristen Bride, joined by my guest host, Carol Kane. Greg yes. Bach is on the board. Kristen's going to be calling in about 20 minutes.
Excellent.
And we'll get a little update on everything, and we will do the big reveal of her little girl's name. But right now, very excited to have him back from onmilwaukee.com, the one and only Matt Miller. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
How are you?
Be better if that Packer game didn't go the way it did last night.
That was ugly.
It's
Bad. I watched The Golden Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise instead, and honestly, really thought that I made the wiser choice. I did not expect that to be like the good choice.
I forgot that Golden Bachelor was on.
I did too. I completely forgot. Good. Let's start there because I want to hear, all the deets about The Golden Bachelor.
It's odd. It's this weird thing of like they're trying to be mature because I do think the Bachelor franchise ran into trouble where it got so toxic and so ugly. I think they're trying to get some of that out of the system. And what better way to kind of seem like a more mature version of your reality show than by hiring a bunch of 70 and 60 year olds to be the stars of it. There is a niceness to it. There's an odd sincerity. It's weird watching these like really fake romance games of like handing out the roses, but done by people who seem genuinely into it and seem sincere and have lived a long enough life to know what this is. And you know that they are not here for the Instagram clout and for the TikTok likes. So it's an odd thing. I'm interested to see where the drama is going to come from. I can't imagine anyone accusing someone else of being there for the wrong reasons and stuff like that. It's like, who here do you think is here for clout on social media? But we'll see. Right now, it's kind of like the Hallmark version of The Bachelor, where it's just all like pleasant vibes. Nothing's really funny. Nothing's really that dramatic. But it's just kind of nice for an hour.
That can't possibly last.
No.
I assume we already had a few contestants who were like, I'm going to get what I want. And I'm like, oh, boy, there's going to be a very intense pickleball game coming up. One of these weeks.
Pickleball of death.
I'm terrified because normally when they do the sports episode of The Bachelor, someone gets hurt. And like, I don't want to see one of these people get hurt. That's a serious injury for people at that age.
I don't know. I just hope with The Golden Bachelor that it gets away from bad behavior being rewarded. Because, you know, some of these young girls or these young guys, and all they're in for is just making out and having sex and all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, please, can we stop rewarding these people? Their bad behavior is bugging the crap out of me.
Yeah, that's the kind of hope with this Golden Bachelor. Like, you have people who have lived lives, who have been married before and have experienced, you know, true, long-lasting love in many cases. Are these people going to regress to reality show formula, or are they going to raise reality show formula up and make a more sincere, a more enjoyable? But also at the same time, is that what you want from The Bachelor? Because I will say, I had more fun probably watching Bachelor in Paradise because it was trashier, because it was sillier, because it was watching, you know, people make dumb mistakes and ruin themselves on a beach.
Oh, God.
Falling in love, you know? It's this weird thing of like, do you want a more mature The Bachelor? It's an odd situation.
and I'm just afraid at some point in the next couple of episodes, one of the women is going to, you know, Becky, you're just a tramp. I don't want to see that stuff. And I'm curious.
Right? Like, it's fun to watch like 20-year-olds like be catty on reality TV because you're like, okay, you're young. You're like, you're going through life stuff. Seeing 70-year-olds on TV being catty, it's like, have you learned nothing? Have you gained no wisdom across your period of time in life? You know, they should be allowed to have fun and be catty if they want to, but I don't know if I find that very satisfying as a viewer to be like, oh, like, this is unpleasant because you should know better by now.
I'm curious too, Matt, because I have seen pictures of him, the Golden Bachelor, and he's a very fine-looking man who does not...
He looks like the Oscar statue. Yeah. He's a very handsome guy. He sounds like he is mid-yawn at all times, but that's fine. He's charming. He is not a problem so far. The women competing on the show are not a problem. Everyone's really nice so far. I'm interested. It was also only an hour long, which is interesting because normally The Bachelor, Bachelorette is 2 hours.
Oh,
long.
Man.
Yeah. Last night I watched 3 hours of Bachelor programming. And let me tell you, brain is leaking out of my ears.
I was just going to say, you're very, very fluid considering that you had to watch 3 hours worth of The Bachelor.
These are the first complete sentences I've been able to put together. All
are the female contestants all such perfect specimens like he is?
No, I would say it was a kind of nice diversity. It was honestly more diverse than most, you know, Bachelor casts.
Right,
you know?
Right.
There were people of different sizes, different races. It was nice to see. Now, how long are those people going to last? Because, you know, normally when they bring on diversity on The Bachelor, it unfortunately gets whittled down pretty fast.
Pretty
but they are. There have been efforts in recent seasons to, you know, to create a version of the show that more reflects the world we live in, which is a more diverse show.
Well, now you have me curious about it because I do think, though, it's not TV.
No,
I understand, but I think that the fact that they're being nice and reasonable and not horrible people potentially trying to raise the influence of this genre. I just don't see that happening. It's always been, reality TV has always been based on rewarding people for bad behavior, and that goes back to Survivor.
Oh, sure.
Win at any cost, cheat, lie, betray people, backstab people. That, I think, is the kernel of all reality television.
Right.
Right?
It's the backbone of it, for sure.
It's win at any cost.
Right.
Well, and then you have the real world. And once a show starts figuring out its villains and its heroes and its archetypes, that's when you start getting, you know, the real kind of odd behavior. And Bachelor really did. Like, I mean, it was always, you know, kind of seedy and silly. But it was very, a few years ago, it got really toxic and really unpleasant. And I think a lot of people were really getting turned off by it and just being like, why do I want it? These people aren't villainous at this point. They're just ugly people.
Why do
and
I want it? Yeah.
Culture change too. You know, we did go through the kind of Ted Lasso normcoreization of pop culture, which was like, I don't know if I want to see, you know, anti-heroes right now. I would rather see some people who do good things maybe than see people who are actively rewarded for being the worst.
Yeah, I certainly don't want it to devolve into, you know, they start hiding each other's medications and stuff like
that. Yeah.
See, you know, it's going bad really quickly.
Where's my Lipitor? Where's my Lipitor?
Who stole my Coumadin?
Again, it's like the Transformers thing of like, oh, there's not a lot of plot. Well, how much plot do you want in a Transformers movie?
Right.
You know,
right.
How serious, how thoughtful do you want a Bachelor franchise to be? It'll be very interesting to see this play out.
Matt Miller is our guest. He's from onmilwaukee.com. We're talking all things movies and TV and Hollywood. And well, at least the writer's strike is over. That's good news.
Yes, and it sounds like the Screen Actors Guild and the studios are going to meet up early next week. I imagine things will start rolling downhill pretty fast now, in a good way. Rolling downhill as in, like, progress,
good.
Not rolling downhill as in. Because now the studios can go to the Screen Actors Guild and be like, here's the deal the writers got. Would you like this as well? Because a lot of their issues were very similar. Concerns about AI, concerns about streaming residuals and being rewarded based on the success of a show beyond its original run. And, you know, hopefully this gets everything back together. Now, there's still a lot to go through here. You know, we even when these strikes are over, we're going to feel the ripples of them, similar to how when the film industry and the TV industry shut down for COVID, we realized a year later, oh, that's right. We went several months without being able to make anything. That pipeline got held up.
Right.
So, you know, come early next year, what is the movie schedule look like? What is the TV schedule going to look like? So luckily we've got a lot of movies in the can already. We got some TV in the can already, but there is going to be still some ripple effects of this long, needlessly long strike because the studios refused to give what they ended up giving 5 months later.
Exactly. And what is going to be my point too, Matt, is they accomplished absolutely nothing. The studio executives, all, you know, the big money players in Hollywood, they didn't get anything out of this deal. They just kind of shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, this deal is great for the writers.
Good.
They got pretty much everything they wanted, from the kind of nuanced stuff about writers' rooms to the larger scale issues of, you know, AI and streaming. It's a great deal for the writers. And I think the frustration and the residual anger of this strike right now is, well, why did it take so long for us to get here?
Right.
Why did we have to, you know, why did this have to get dragged out across 5 months? And in the Screen Actors Guild case, I think 2 or 3 months now, why is this getting dragged out when we have what we want here? It's frustrating that the studios refuse to come to the table and we're so vindictive and so smug in many regards, especially when the studios are, listen, we have not gotten back to normal film going yet.
Right.
We have not gotten, and streaming has not found a way to become a truly viable way to make money for these studios. And they're deciding to throw this giant wrench into everything. You know, we had Barbenheimer, and then immediately the city shut down.
Yeah.
That's a bad way to get people back into the habit of going into movies and of getting excited about film and about product, this art.
Well, speaking of movies, and I know you haven't had a chance to see them yet, but you shared some of the ones that are upcoming, and I watched the trailer for, is it Dumb Money?
Yes.
It's so funny. It's so profane. I was going to cut a clip of it, and it's like, I'm going to have to edit this so heavily, there won't be anything left. But what is the premise of that movie, man?
Yeah, kind of a comedy, dramedy, Big Short-esque about the GameStop stock conundrum of a few years ago. It's kind of wild how this stuff gets turned around into movies and TV shows so fast
right.
now. I remember back in the day when they made the George W. Bush biopic movie, after, and everyone was like, oh, that's too soon. And now that's just standard issue now for biopics and
yep.
for these true story kind of docudramas. I'm excited for this one. It's a really good cast. You got Seth Rogen. You've got Sebastian Stan. I'm a little concerned because it's the same director of I, Tonya. And I really hated I, Tonya.
Oh,
I think
you did.
I, Tonya is a very bad movie that is trying to do its best Martin Scorsese impression without understanding why Martin Scorsese does the cinematic things that
he does.
And that movie doesn't know what it wants to say about Tonya Harding or about anything, or at least things that it doesn't want to literally say into the camera, into your face, very smugly, because it doesn't think you're a very smart person. So I'm interested to see maybe if he's figured out his Scorsese impression a little bit better now in this new movie. And, you know, I enjoyed The Big Short, and I'm interested to see kind of this. All the reviews about it have been really good. They say it's fun and funny, which I think for this topic, you have to find a way to make people looking at stock options and screens.
For sure.
Right. It's not a cinematic thing. Odd that there's no Oscar buzz around it, which tells me maybe it's not the greatest movie you'll see all year, but I think it'll be the best one you'll see about stock this entire year, I would imagine.
And that's saying something.
Low bar. To
low clear. Bar,
yeah,
low bar. We've got just a couple of minutes left, Matt. What? Anything else that you're looking forward to checking out?
I mean, I said his name. I am excited for the new Martin Scorsese movie coming out next month, Killers of the Flower Moon. Early reviews are really good, really strong Oscar buzz. Lily Gladstone sounds like she's going to really pop in this movie. And I'm excited that it seems like a drama for adults is going to do well on the big screen again. There does seem to be a movement of possibly between Oppenheimer and this, maybe movies for adults are back. Or maybe it'll just be comic book movies again in a few months. Who's to know?
Matt Miller from OnMilwaukee.com joins us the last Friday of every month. We will see you next month. Matt, thank you so very much. Say hi to your dad for us. And stick around.
Do.
Coming up next, new mom Kristen is going to join us live. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always
been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 63. Monday, sunshine and 85. Monday night, mostly clear with a low of 64. Chance of showers and thunderstorms from Tuesday night into Wednesday. That'll cool things down. We'll see a high near 70 on your Wednesday, and it will be breezy.
Currently, 66 degrees.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. I am joined by my good friend, longtime colleague, Carol Kane. Greg Bach is on the board, and that is the official baby music for baby Bry Sampson, because the nursery is all elephants.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
Okay.
Her nursery is full of elefantes.
You know what? That was Elizabeth, too. She
was
had
it really?
To have. Oh, yeah. She had to. She's crazy about elephants.
Still.
Always has been.
All right. Well, this is going to be Mama's future. What am I going to do? I'm not going to give out the phone number. She knows the
phone
number.
She's on the line right now.
Good morning, Kristen Bry.
Hi,
hon. How are you ladies doing?
We're good. How are you, my friend? How is everything?
Everything is pretty good, I have to say. After how many hours was it? It was a trek, but we made it. And but she arrived yesterday at 1:30, and she's 6 pounds and 12 ounces. So she's a peanut, but she's long. She's 19.75.
Wow.
She's a string bean.
We knew she was going to be tall.
Yeah.
We knew she would be long.
You know what, Kristen?
But yeah,
there is absolutely nobody on the face of the earth that they can prepare you what labor is going to be like. Nothing. They can tell you, oh, it's painful. It's like, oh, no, I compare everything now to labor. Everything. Is it labor?
You still
no.
do that?
Always.
So you didn't forget? Because I feel like a lot of friends are like, oh, like once your kid's here, like you forget. And like, we would never have another one if you always remembered how much pain the first one was. So you, after all this time, you still remember the pain?
I will never forget. I hold it over their heads every day.
Well, we have been having people guess all morning long. We've been giving little hints in the bumper music as to what the little sprite's name is. So, and we got some really funny guesses. We got a couple that were right on the
right
money.
Nail.
And they guessed it in about the first 25 minutes or so.
Yep. Yeah.
So, all right,
well, Tom from LA there. And then Lynn from Oconomowoc nailed it.
Nailed it. All right. So is this the big reveal?
This is the big reveal.
Reveal.
All right. Her name is Frances Louise Sampson, and we're going to call her Frankie or Frankie Lou.
Very nice.
So
I love it. I just love it. I might still call her Frances, though.
Well, and can
yeah,
I?
Yeah, that's the point.
Here's what's going to happen, Kristen. She's going to go to school, and the kids in kindergarten will tell her what her nickname is going to be.
That's true. That's a good point.
Because my Elizabeth was going to be Elizabeth. And the first day of kindergarten, she came home and she said, "They're calling me Lizzie, Mom." And I was like, "Oh, are you kidding?" But she's a Lizzie. She's been a Lizzie ever since. That was it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't control these things.
Exactly.
You set them up and then, you know, nicknames emerge out of initials, names, behaviors. You never know.
And I know that you and Mike were kind of holding off for sure on the name until you saw her. So once you saw her, you were like, yeah, Frances Louise is the way we're going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I was pretty sold on that name anyways. So it might be a little biased, but she came out and we both were like, yep, that's her.
She's got a head of hair.
She's pretty great.
She's got a head of hair. Boy, does she ever.
Yeah. So I was not expecting that because I feel like I was a baldy, but she's got some hair. She's sleeping well. She's nursing well.
Oh,
like,
good.
Everything's really good. Yeah.
Good.
So we're pretty happy. The worst thing so far is that 6 weeks after back surgery, the accommodations for Mike, not so great in the hospital. that's been a little rough on his back, but we're making do.
You know, that I find that so interesting, though, that hospitals where you're supposed to go and rest and recuperate are among the most uncomfortable places on the planet.
Yeah.
And that just seems, you know, kind of diametrically opposed.
Here's a bed that feels like a tiny jail.
And here's the chair of death. Sit down. Enjoy. Sit for 9 hours,
enjoy
you know?
It. When yeah, with the crying baby.
Yeah. When are you coming home, honey?
I'm going to come home tomorrow.
Oh, okay. That's what
So I'll be here today. Going home tomorrow, starting to see family. It's going to come over tomorrow.
Nice.
Daddy's very excited.
I bet. I bet.
And so yeah, but I have to say, we're at Aurora Sinai, and the staff here has just been above and beyond. They've been so, everyone, from all the nurses to all the doctors to lactation specialists. Like, if you can choose where you have your baby, I would highly recommend. This is not a sponsored ad.
Just bring your own chair.
Yeah, exactly.
And how is Mike doing? How is he proud papa? And does she have him twisted around her little finger already?
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically. He's done for.
He's doomed.
Yeah, he's a natural. He was as useful as you can be in the position of how could I help during labor? It's like, just be supportive.
Just do that. Yes. Just do that.
Yeah.
And well, did he elect to see her arrive?
He did.
He did.
Good.
He did. He got to cut the cord. He saw her arrive. He was not freaked out at all. He did not have to sit down because he got lightheaded. He was a champ.
That's awesome.
That's my mic. Yeah, baby.
Well, we are all so delighted. Everyone here, Kristen at Civic Media, I posted in the general chat last night that she had arrived, and everybody's so excited and so happy for you and Mike, and we can't wait to meet her.
I know. I can't wait for everyone to meet her. She's pretty. I'm pretty biased, but she does not look like a newborn alien that sometimes newborns can look like. At least I don't think she does. But like I said, I may be biased, but she's pretty. She's pretty cute.
She is pretty cute. You shared a text picture with us this morning. She does not look like Don Knotts at all.
No, she's adorable.
She's right. A little sweet bean.
You should be very, very proud. And I'm glad you made it through unscathed, if you will.
Yes, I would say highly recommend epidurals. They make a big difference. Condolences to everyone who had to give a baby before or had to give birth before epidurals were a thing. And so
we had a long talk with we had a long talk with Dr. Lyerly about that and the importance and the benefits of epidurals. Thank goodness, right?
Yeah, truly.
Well, we love you. Welcome to the world, baby. Frankie.
Congratulations.
Little Frances Louise.
Oh, Jada's so excited right now.
I really am.
I can't wait for you guys to meet her and hold her. She's pretty sweet.
But thanks for taking care of the show. You guys have been sounding great all week.
Thank you very much, Kristen. We love you.
We love you. Take care. We will talk soon. Stick around for the news and then followed by Town Call. Thank you so much for joining us, texting, calling, listening, everything. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.